Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for a double exit interview. First time since week one of the season when we talked with Abraham and Sarah. But today we are going to be talking with both Nasir and Evie after they were voted out in the double tribal councils from this week's episode of Survivor. There was a lot to unpack from this episode in terms of good moves, bad moves, what could have happened. Steven and I got into it. I have to say that we were not completely on the same page from last night's episode in terms of like what the right call was, especially at the Nasir Tribal Council. You could hear that whole conversation when you go to listen to the Survivor Know-It-Alls up at robisawebsite.com, or you could make sure you subscribe to the podcast, of course. I mean, are you even doing Rob as a podcast right if you're not subscribed at this point? Rob has a website.com/subscribe. Today, we've got a great interview coming up. Sophie Clark, new mom, two-time Survivor, Survivor winner from a season 10 years ago this fall. We're going to talk with her about everything that she is seeing here in Survivor 41. Should be great fun to catch up with Sophie. And another smart, funny woman on the podcast this weekend when Hannah Shapiro will join us on the Survivor Feedback Show. We love to get your voicemails. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail for the feedback show. We love to hear your voices. We love to hear your thoughts. Don't hold out. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail for that. We'll also have a patron Q&A coming up this Monday night. Asia Welch will join us where the patrons get to call in and ask their questions, plus all the other podcasts in our Survivor podcast feed, the B&B, Why Blank, Lost, the Roundtable, Survivor Global. Even Bryce is covering Survivor on the Purple Pants podcast. So much Survivor podcast. Happy to have you here with us to talk about it all here on a very fun season of Survivor. We have our first exit interview coming up. We are going to have Nasir first, then Evie second, then Jordan Kalish is coming by for this week in Survivor history. That's the rundown on the Double Exit Interview podcast. We have Nasir on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Nasir, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Nasir, good morning. So nice to talk to you.
Oh, my goodness. I waited almost 17 years to talk to you.
To talk to me?
Since Amazon.
Wow. Nasir, that's a nice honor to hear from you because I had so much fun getting to watch you on this season. And I know I am not alone in that I'm sure that you must have heard how much people loved your enthusiasm and positivity and your backstory. And it was such a joy to get to watch you this season.
Thank you so much, Rob. And again, I want to give a shout out again for all the fans that were supporting me and enjoying my story. Enjoying my gameplay, enjoying Nasir, you know. So again, that is Nasir, and I'm very happy about it. Thank you so much, Rob.
Well, Nasir, I was surprised to see you go out last night. I'm sure that it seemed like that you were surprised as well that that happened. We saw in the last couple episodes you talk about how Shan and Ricard were your closest allies out there. I mean, how big of a shock was it for you that they would consider flipping on you?
Well, that was really shock, to be honest with you, Rob, because I know from the day that we got on that island, so after I'm telling told the truth about Danny and Deshaun looking for an idol, so it backfired me, then I'm like, okay, I know where I am standing now. And again, I wasn't naive, but naive, right? So I know exactly what's happening. So finally, I waited for the merge to get someone that you have to have some kind of human connection or trust somebody, right, to play at least a couple more episodes or days. So I was disappointed because the reason I know I was the biggest threat over there, and I don't think that was a smart move for them because I was very loyal. I was a really solid number for them. So I assumed I know when we go back after that day, Shan will go back to Danny, Deshaun, and Deshaun and Liana and Danny. Then I'm like, okay, at least I have my idol. So I will, you know, I can play. If I don't win the next challenge, I can play my idol and I can take one day at a time and move on because I don't have to worry about, I don't care whoever sits with me, I'm winning that $1 million on final three because I have the resume built even before I go to the Survivor, you know?
Yeah.
So that is the only night I really trusted. And also my arm was totally numb. So it wasn't really clear for me. I trusted them, and I'm like, you know, it happens. That is the beauty of the game.
Did you ever consider thinking about playing your idol at that tribal council, or you felt so comfortable?
I felt so comfortable on that. I thought on previous tribal councils, but then I hold on to it. So I was able to read what's going on in the live tribal. And right, so then after that, for that one, I felt comfortable. That is when Vinus here.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we didn't really get to see you form a relationship with Shannon Ricard. I understand that you got close with them. How did that relationship start for you?
All right. So when we got to merge, right, before even merge, so I met Ricard during the feast, Ricard and Abby, right? And me,
yes,
Sydney, Deshaun, Danny, and Ricard over there. So when I found the idol, I did not tell anybody in the Lubu. Right, but Ricard told me because it's obvious. So when she, Shan told the phrases, then I know that these two are really close, right? Because they know each other. So during the feed, Ricard is not even talking a lot, and I can see that he's learning. He's Ricard is clever, right? So then, that's a good one. And also, because I can't trust Danny, Bishan, any of my tribal tribe mates, right? I'm like, okay, this is the time I want to get someone to be trustworthy and to be loyal and create a new alliance, right? Then they came because there were only two left. They have to have numbers, so they have to be friends with someone either from Vyasa or Lubu. The first thing when I came, I heard that from Shan, Liana is with us, so that means Vyasa already broken. There's fractures in that tribe. So Lubu is already falling apart. I'm like, okay, I can, even though I tried it the last day of, right before we go to the merge challenge, okay, whatever it happens, let it go, apologize to each other, as long as it's nothing personal, you know, I mean, nothing, as long as everything is related to the game, it's all good. If there's any harm feelings, apologize. I started apologizing everybody, even though I did nothing. So just try to get a nice vibe, right? Then we can go, and I can. Lou stayed strong no matter how, even though it was falling apart, but we won all the challenges. Let's stay until final six because we know each other. Then we can play the game. After that, we can backstab or lie each other, or throwing under the bus is okay, you know? So because we know each other, right? At least how they play, right? So then Shan Ricard came, then she told about Liana. Liana's with them, working with them. Then I'm like, okay, this is really good. On the other hand, I was thinking like, okay, I did not trust all 13 days Lubu, and I need, this is the time to hop on. And I had, because Shan was, we had a lot of chat. She talked about, she's pastor, and of course, I respect religious leaders. And I'm like, yeah, at some point they have to hold on to their integrity or whatever you name it, right? So I'm like, okay, that's good. But again, it's a survivor. They can do anything they want to do to stay one more night, right? That's mm-hmm. the beauty of this game. So I was like, all right, then we played good. I mean, Ricard, every time he was with me and we cooked together, pick whatever breadcrumb, whatever we strategized. But at the same time, I know Shan, Liana, Danny, and Deshaun, they have very close alliances too, right?
Yes.
But for me, then Shan even told me that she cannot trust Ricard. So I'm thinking, all right, so Ricard is just a number for her, even though trusted alliance. After eating the papaya, Shan told me, I can't trust him, all right? And she started telling me some other stuff. So I'm like, okay. It's a good one. She's really trustworthy. And she played that game with me for a couple tribal councils. And you can see that. So I'm like, okay, I can trust her more than my Lubu or Yaza, because Yaza, Zander was kind of in between. And Tiffany and Evie, trustworthy people. But at the same time, Tiffany's gone. And because Yaza, Zander's supposed to play the idol for heavy on that night. He did not. I was planning, on the other hand, okay, if I am not getting closer with Shannon Ricard, I have here Tiffany, Evie, Xander, and I can join that too.
Yeah.
Right? Because then I saw that this is already falling apart in front of everybody. So how can I go with them? They are not even fixing themselves. So Liana already working with Shannon Ricard. because they went on that journey right before the merge. So it's kind of all over.
Yeah.
I had to find an alliance just to go with, at least to stay one more night or every, because I want to take one day at a time, because I know I was the biggest threat over there. And I already go out, but I wasn't planning to go out on that night, because I know that if not that night, I can stay one more night, and then following day I will play an idol. Then I will win a challenge. If my arm, you know, I was thinking that way, then if I get a final four, it's a done deal.
Done
Nobody
deal.
Can make fire again.
Right.
All right? Nobody. I can look at the flint and machete, the fire starts burning.
Just by looking at it, yeah.
Can
I ask you about going back to the live tribal council? How surprised were you to see Heather get up and start saying your name to people? Was that a big shock to you, or had you and Heather had a not so great relationship before that?
No, Rob, it was really tough, not to only to me, to everybody, because we had clear vote, like, okay, if I'm not mistaken, all the women or girls will go to, they will be voting for Tiffany. The other rest will vote for Xander. Keep it simple. If Xander plays his idol, Tiffany goes home.
Yeah.
Right? So then she came and started throwing up everything, like, okay, after she's trying to put a show out there. Then it backfired her. I'm like, what you doing? And you are not talking to me, everybody. You talk to everybody else. Then not to me, so it's clearly, it is my name,
yeah.
Right? Then when she says, go to the ears, close to the ears, I can hear what they're talking about. Then
right.
I talked to Shan. Shan came and said, hey, Nasir, she's throwing your name. And Liana came, like, you know what? Let's go ahead and put Heather out. We can take Heather out. Well, of course, Dishan, he doesn't want to agree to it because he was very close as ally with Heather, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the game. I'm like, then, of course, things change, and I'm like, okay, then it came clear, and I can see Heather calm down. She's not going to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she did not. So otherwise, she's going home on that day. She tried to change the, to make it live tribal goes to someone else, but it did not happen.
Yeah.
You know, it did not happen. Yeah.
In the episode last night, you talked about she said your name. She said she didn't write it down. You said you didn't believe her. Were you surprised when you watched the episodes that she actually didn't write your name down after all that, and it was Xander?
Yeah, I was surprised. But for me, I was thinking at that time, like, yeah, you threw my name. It's worse than writing my name down without telling anybody.
Right.
I would be happy if you go and writing my name instead of throwing my name to everybody. You know, the hardest part, you have to always maintain not to come your name out of there.
Right.
You know? So
I agree with you. I think that's
right
worse.
Before, that's worse. You're throwing my name in front of everybody. If I go and writing down Danny's name or Dishan's name, you're rooting for them, or you're writing it down their names, right? But instead of telling everybody, okay, you should have done it at the camp, instead of on live tribal council,
mm-hmm.
that creates everybody's plan.
Yeah.
All right? We had a set plan, easy, just keep moving forward. But it did not happen. So,
yeah.
But the next day, she tried to prove that she did not throw my name under the bus. She called Evie. Evie is very close to my, she's one of my ally over there. We were very, very close, right? And Evie said, no, you told Nasir's name.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nasir, could you talk a little bit about your relationship with Danny and Dishan? Because it seems like there were times during the season where you were working well with them, but then also it seems like that there were times when there wasn't a lot of trust between you and those guys. So how did you feel about your relationship with them?
Well, the first couple of days, it wasn't really good because we tried to learn each other, and I threw their name under the bus and try to get an alliance. Then I went and apologized to Danny, and I told them, hey, I did throw your name. You did it. But still they say, no, I did not. I'm like, okay. They say that they didn't look for either. I'm like, it's okay. Move on. Then they tried to throw the challenge. It did not happen. Then they came and asked me, let's throw the challenge. I said, no. Then we had good talk. And afterwards, we were close to each other, very close. And we had our numbers over three over there. That's what happened. I'm like, when I see again, we divided into two on the final challenge the day that I went out. Like, if I'm sitting on the other side, I'm not going to go home because Dishan, me, Danny, and Xander will join for sure, or every bit. So one of them will go, because Xander cannot go because he won the challenge over the other side, right? So, because Yasov wasn't really close to Lou when they merged. So I'm like, okay, I'm sure my friend Evie may go out, but, you know, I had another chance if I, because I had the numbers on the other side, mm-hmm. you know, and also I was thinking I had the numbers on this side too because of Shannon Ricard.
Yeah.
So it didn't work out. So, no, Danny and Deshaun, oh, we had fun. We had fun. Deshaun, Danny, oh, yeah, we had great relationship. Right after they tried to throw the challenge, they know they cannot do it. They know Nasir is a beast over there, so better we should play the challenge with him. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So then we became very good friends. We had really nice time, and then we decided, okay, let's stay until finals five. All right, we three at least we can whoever wants to hop on with us in our alliance. We stay. Then after that, right, everybody's good players over there. After when you get to finals four, I mean, like, yeah, physically, I would say, then you know. Let's do this. So, yeah. You know, it always doesn't go the way you think on Survivor, right? You played, Rob. You know how that goes.
Believe me, I know. That's one thing I do know. Nasir, and then last thing, it was such a great moment on the show when you found that last idol and then said you were more confused than the goat on AstroTurf. Everybody really loved that moment. You talked about how your daughter helped you look for idols at your house to get you ready for that. Since you went out of the game with your idol, were you able to bring the idol that you found home and show it to your daughter?
No, we did not get our idol home to bring it with us.
They don't let you take them anymore. Okay.
Yeah, because you remember, I think after they had like Standing the Curve or whatever, they played on one island, you know, Islands of Idols.
Yeah.
Ghost Island, and that way, so maybe they're waiting to use. You know, they never know. Jeff can change things around. you know, all these twists and tricks. That's the beauty of that game, you know. So anything can happen.
Okay. Nasir, I know you have to run. That I know that my time is running short. So I just want to say, Nasir, thank you again so much for coming on and talking with us. And again, it was so much fun to get to watch you play. And I hope one day we get to see it again.
Oh, anytime, Rob. I'm really hoping for it. And you want to see the happy face again out there. That is Nasir.
Yeah. All right, Nasir. All the best. Take care. Okay.
Thank you, Rob. You have a great day.
Okay. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Nasir, who was very, very fun to get to talk to. You know, Nasir, big Survivor fan, and you can tell. Very interesting note. I thought that, you know, all last week we were trying to figure out, like, what were they doing? Why don't they do flush the idol? That Xander has an idol. Why don't they flush the idol? Even Tiffany was like, why are you voting for me? You know, nobody, you didn't flush any of the idols at the last tribal council. It sounds like that from Nasir that the plan was to have, you know, half the votes on Tiffany and half the votes on Xander. And then it seems like Heather kind of screwed up that plan when she stands up and kicks off the live tribal. So, yeah, I think it sort of makes a little bit more sense why Deshaun is like, hey, you kind of screwed things up last night when you were doing that. You kind of went rogue. And it seems like that, you know, from Nasir and from Deshaun's reaction, that nobody really understands what Heather was going for there at that live tribal council. So really does loom large in the season as Xander moves on. But I'm sure we will talk about this plenty more in our next exit interview. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to have our exit interview with Evie Jagoda right after this. All right, exit interview number two coming up. It looks like we have Evie here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch them in. Evie, are you there?
What's up, Rob? So exciting to talk to you.
Very excited to talk to you as well, Evie. Very fun to get to watch you on the season, and glad we can talk a little bit about your game. But first, congratulations on the completion of your doctorate.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's Dr. Evie Jagoda to you. And yeah, pretty, there's good stuff going on over here.
Yes. Okay. Well, Dr. Jagoda, let's talk about what's going on here in Survivor 41. Before we talk about what actually happened, I'm curious to know, did you feel like that you were in a good spot if you would have had a tribal council with 10 people like we would have had in a normal episode?
Absolutely. Honestly, that's the only thing that's like so frustrating to me is, you know, I was so in a bad spot with that merge vote. And then I was in a horrible spot coming out after that, having pulled off such a big move. All eyes were on me. But then I really had done the work to build those relationships back. Like you saw, you know, that night, everyone was talking to me after the Tiffany tribal council. Like Erica talked to me, Liana talked to me, Deshaun was talking to me. And the next day, Shan and Liana also like pulled me aside together. Deshaun pulled me aside. Like everyone wanted to work with me. And I feel like I had gotten over that hump, like in the day, in the cycle where Tiffany got voted out. I just kept telling myself, like, I just need to get past this vote. I feel like if I can just get past this vote, the eyes will be off me. And it like honestly totally worked. You saw that Shan, who was the one that was coming to me the most at the merge and then at the vote where Tiffany ultimately went home before I won immunity, she was the one that had been saying my name the most. And she doesn't even bring me up that morning. Like I truly, truly believe I was not going home if that hadn't happened. So that's the only thing that's frustrating is that like, I was so at the bottom and then I had like clawed my way back in and then just like, bam, put in another like really impossible situation. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's kind of a bummer.
So in the 5-person tribal that you did end up going to, it seemed like that you had put in a lot of work with Deshaun going back to when you went to Shipwheel Island with him earlier in the season. And it seemed like that Deshaun was really considering voting out Liana and voting with you and Xander. Going into that tribal, did you and Xander feel like that Deshaun was going to vote with you?
Honestly, we did. Like you saw, like you said, I had this relationship with Deshaun that went back so far in the game and we were always trying to work together. And actually he came to me even before the tribal when Tiffany was voted out, like right before that, he was like, listen, I want to work with you. We're going to do this vote and then we're going to work together. Like you can be a shield for me. Like this is great. And I was like, hell yeah, that's always what I wanted. So I was fully down. You know, I felt like the camps were so obviously like Team Deshaun and Team Shan. And I made it so clear to him that I was Team Deshaun. So I was really hoping he would stick with me. I honestly think the bigger issue was that I think Xander always thought he had a really good relationship with Danny, where Danny always, you know, he was always kind of telling Danny stuff and he thought that it would kind of work out in his favor. But I think that relationship was a bit more one-sided than he thought. And I think really Danny, if Danny hadn't been there, I think Deshaun was more likely to flip. Like I think just Danny was very clear. I mean, you've seen his like pregame stuff. He was very clear. We got to get out the puzzle people. We got to get at those types of threats. So I think that balance of him being there really like made it so that Deshaun wasn't going to want to make that big move. I think the other thing that they didn't really show is our strategy was not just to try to get Deshaun and Danny to flip on Liana, but to try to get the two sides firing at each other. And so I was also like really trying to get Liana to maybe vote for Deshaun. And I like, they didn't really show that much of that except for that conversation between Xander and Liana. But I actually think she was considering that, like, you know, Shan and Liana were just as frustrated with Deshaun as Deshaun was with them. And so I was really hoping, like, if I could get those two sides firing at each other, worst case, maybe it's like a 2-2-1. And on the revote, I think I would have stayed because I think they would have been mad that Liana voted for Deshaun. So I tried as many things as I could, but that was just a horrible group of five for me.
Was there any talk between you and Xander about using his idol or extra vote in this round of play? That we saw the talk about that Xander would consider using his idol on you, but ultimately he didn't do that before the vote.
Right. Honestly, for me, I was like, if Xander didn't play the idol on me at the merge vote and we were like so united, to me, that was like Charlie Brown with the football. Like, I'm not going to put my eggs in the Xander's going to play the idol for me basket. So I was really trying to not bank on that. I obviously didn't know that Danny and Deshaun had that conversation where Danny really made it pretty clear, I think, that he wasn't with us. And if I had known that, I probably would have been pushing hard for Xander to play the extra vote because that would have been so perfect if he had played the extra vote and then would have been a 3-3 tie and then me and Liana would have been immune and Danny or Deshaun would have to go to Rock. You know, but I think the reality is Xander, you know, he thought they were with us and I did too. So, you know, he wanted to save his advantages. And like, I get that. Save your idol. Like, it's your idol. I haven't been the best ally to you. Like, I don't fault him for that, you know?
Can you talk a little bit about the relationship with Liana? Because it seemed like at the start of the season, it was you and Liana and Tiffany. It seemed more like that Xander was on the outs. But over the course of the season, it seems like that Liana got the feeling that you had gotten closer with Xander and then ultimately went looking elsewhere at the merge. Do you have any regret about how that relationship ended up going with Liana over the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, Liana and I started out as solidly number ones at the beginning of the game. But I think, honestly, I don't have any personal regrets. I just regret, like, the way that whole situation went down. Because, you know, when we kept Xander at you know, day five or whatever, obviously, we needed to make sure that he wouldn't play his idol if we lost again, you know? So I made it so clear to Liana and Tiff, like, this is a fake alliance. Like, I am trying to make Xander feel comfortable so that he doesn't play his idol and get out one of you too. You know, presumably Liana actually would have been the person that went home if we did have to go to tribal and Xander did get suspicious and did play his idol. So for my head, like, everything I was doing in keeping Xander, you know, keeping Xander close and keeping Xander feel good was like for the me and Liana alliance and for the me Tip Liana alliance, you know? But I totally also understand that, you know, we voted Voce out on day 5 and we didn't merge until day 12. So that was like 7 days of Liana being frustrated with that situation and fake pretending to be on the outs so that we could, you know, have this fake alliance with me, Xander, and Tiffany so that Xander wouldn't get suspicious, you know? And, like, for someone like Liana, who's such a strong, like, powerful, wonderful woman, like, that was always going to, like, piss her off so much to be stuck in that situation. So I totally get why, you know, when she went to Shiploh Island and got to make a connection with Shan, you know, where they can connect in a way that, like, Liana and I never could, you know, I get why she got to the merge. She was looking for new friends and, like, wanted to make a move. So I get it. On a personal level, we're totally fine. Like, we FaceTimed last night. She's wonderful. But game-wise, yeah, I regret how it went down.
Evie, where did things go wrong at that quote-unquote merge vote? Because it felt like coming out of that you and Tiffany and Xander seemed super close coming out of that vote where Sydney got voted out instead of one of the three of you. But then coming into the next episode, it seemed like things had really all fallen apart.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was a surprise to me, too, at the time. Like, I felt like we pulled off this great move together. That was amazing. The three of us stuck together. Like, Tiffany gave Xander back the idol. Like, the three of us are so much more powerful as a three than not as a three. You know, if we had stayed a three, we could have tried to pull in the Erikas, the Heathers, the Nasirs, you know, those people at the bottom of the big alliance. But I think, you know, and I don't blame Xander completely. Like, obviously, that information came up about me talking about his idol. Obviously, that would make him wary. So I think he, like, specifically Xander decided that his best strategy was to, you know, be an individual. And therefore, like, that just completely left me in Tip high and dry. So we kind of had to do the same thing. But I think if Xander had wanted to stay with us, we would have been a three. And I think we honestly would have had a lot more power. But, like, you know, he's playing his game. And I totally get why he doesn't want to continue sticking his neck on the line for, you know, someone who's potentially not trustworthy.
We saw how you aced the reward challenge puzzle last week, and then we saw the post about how you had been practicing that one at home. How many other puzzles or Survivor challenges did you practice before you went out there?
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, and like I said in that post, I literally made that puzzle the day before I was leaving to Fiji. Like, I was, like, packing up my suitcase. Like, my partner had to go get her, like, vaccine shot, and I was like, wait, real quick, I'm making some beads. But then it, like, totally paid off, so that was awesome. I have a bunch of other ones. I've got, like, the that puzzle where you have, like, the four blocks, so you have to get them all to be different color, the yeah. same color or different colors on each side, you know. I've got, like, the burning bush kind of thing. I've got the fish in a can style one. I've got a bunch of them, but honestly, this is the kind that you can really, like, hack. But I should say, at the tribal council that night, Jeff brought it up again, and I'm like, oh, Jeff, stop talking about it. Don't remind people. But he's like, I just want everyone to know we retired that puzzle. Not worth it to keep practicing the pyramid anymore. I killed it pretty well.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So everybody that's practicing that one, you don't need to worry about that one
done.
Anymore.
But he didn't air it. So I don't know. Maybe he changed his mind.
Maybe they changed their mind. They do have a, you know, they could do that. That's their prerogative. So
Right.
You know, at the end of the show last night, you had, you know, a really great message in your final words. You know, you were shouting out all of the queer kids who were watching the show. I have to imagine just from sort of the people that I've heard from, you know, that you have been such an inspiration to younger people that are watching the show. How much have you heard from the viewers of the show over the course of these last 9 weeks?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I'm like getting choked up even talking about it. Like for me, that is like the number one reason I wanted to do the show is to like be a good representative of my community. And like, you know, it's literally my dream come true that I could go out there and not just like, I think me being there alone and like presenting the way I present, like that would have been cool enough, but to go out there and like see a big social threat who everyone liked, you know, to see the queer person be someone that everyone liked and wanted to work with, you know, and then to win a challenge and all that stuff, like it's just more than I could ever ask for. And I, you know, yeah, it's the best thing ever. And I've received the kindest, sweetest, most meaningful DMs that like I will remember like for my entire life. And like people, you know, saying how meaningful it is to them, who say, you know, they're watching with their kids and it's like helping their kids like understand their own identities. People who are in the closet saying that like their parents are like rooting for a gender queer person on TV and like how amazing that is for them. And like, that like truly, truly, truly is worth $1 million to me. And so I'm just really proud of all that.
Abby, the grouping that you were with out of that 5-person grouping, if you could pick your ideal group of 5 that you would have wanted to be with, who are the couple of people that you would have wanted to make sure that you ended up with in that group of 5?
Oh my God. Literally, Rob, I really feel like if you would have swapped any one more person, like anyone out of that group, I would have been in a better situation. Like that was the worst one. I think like I really felt like Erica was ready to make a move and I really wanted to work with her. So I thought that would have been useful. Like I honestly think if you swapped me and Nasir, like something could have happened on that side, or like maybe me and Ricard. I honestly think if you swapped me and Ricard, Shan might have gone home. Like there was a lot of stuff that could have happened. I'm telling you, like really everyone was trying to work with me that day. And like, it was just that horrible situation where honestly, like a lot, like Deshaun did want to work with me. Liana was starting to warm up to working with me again. Xander wanted to work with me, but it's like, who are we going to vote out? And you know, none of the other options made sense. So it's just, that was the worst group. Literally give me any other group of 5.
How big of a thrill was it to win individual immunity last week?
Oh my gosh. I can't even like, cause you know, in the merge episode with the foot challenge with the flag, like I was so close to winning that one. And I was so upset after that. Cause I was like, damn, like that was my one shot. Like there's no challenge that I could ever win. And like, oh my gosh, I almost won that one.
Did you practice that one?
To, like, go and, not really. I did a bunch of core in quarantine. Quarantine okay. Was honestly great for my abs. Like what else are you going to do? You know,
not everybody can say that. Yeah.
yeah, it's true. It's true. But so no, it was like the best feeling ever. And like, it was kind of cool. Cause, while I was up there, like a few weeks, a month or so before I left for Survivor, I got into a bike accident and kind of like scraped up my knees and my legs. And I was kind of being a baby about it. And my partner was like cleaning them up. And I was like, it hurt, you know? And she's like, Evie, you are strong and you are brave. And I just kept saying that to myself while I was up there on the challenge. Like, I'm strong and I'm brave. I'm strong and I'm brave. And like, it fucking worked, you know? And that was absolutely, totally surreal and crazy. And like, I didn't just win immunity. I won immunity when everyone was coming for me. Like, that's literally the Survivor dream.
So. That's the dream. Incredible. That's the dream. Not Stu. That's the dream. Yeah. Evie, it was so nice to get to talk to you. I hope we can chat more in the future. Would love to talk more Survivor with you one of these days. But in the meantime, that great to watch you on the show. And, you know, all the best outside of Survivor.
Thank you so much. And, you know, just to say I'm a huge, huge fan of yours, so would love to talk whenever. I've got a lot more to say. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Evie. I really appreciate that. And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care, Evie. There you have it, everybody. Dr. Jagoda here on the podcast, and very kind words from Evie. I really appreciate that. Evie was really great at the exit interview. We covered a lot of ground, so I really want to thank them for a great interview there. And interesting about how Evie was set up well at the final 10, feeling like that there were cracks there. I kind of thought that coming in that this might be an okay thing for Evie to be able to, you know, being at the bottom to get through potentially two different votes. But it sounds like, you know, a lot of bad luck for Evie in terms of the twist that came up and ultimately the draw that they got here in these two groups of five. But you are in luck because we are going to take one more break. When we come back, Jordan Kalish is going to be here to talk about what's been going on in the past on this very week in Survivor history right after this. All right, everybody. Double exit interviews. The fun doesn't stop there because we are about to turn back the clock and go back to this week in Survivor history with the host of the popular segment. It's Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's very sad to lose those two amazing contestants on Survivor. It's so sad to that we're not going to be able to see them give their confessionals and you know everything that those two players brought to the game. So I'm very sad about that. But we're back. We're back talking about this week in Survivor history.
We're back. Look at this. Look at us, Jordan. We're back talking about the week in Survivor history, the week before Thanksgiving in Survivor. And has it been traditionally a cornucopia of great Survivor moments?
There are some really historic and fun episodes this week. And, you know, when you bowl three strikes in a row, it's a turkey. And we're now on three twitches in a row and we're going to be getting turkey next week. So perfect timing.
Strong turkey vibes here.
Yeah. That's a bit of a stretch. That was a little bowling turkey Thanksgiving connection there.
Yeah. You know, Akiva has bowled a 164 on three separate occasions.
Wow. And is that his high score?
That is his high score, yeah.
So he can't crack the 165.
Like Penner keeps coming in seventh place, or is like Russell Hance keeps coming in, came in second and third. Is there anybody that's come in the same placement on Survivor three times?
Three times? No, I believe has Andrea come in eighth?
I think
twice,
no. She's seventh and eighth, and I feel like that her all time best. Well, no, her all time best I think was her first season. I think she came in sixth.
Redemption Island. Yeah,
yeah. So she might be a 6, 7, 8. That's like three spots in a row.
Yeah, I mean she's always around the same spot. Maybe I was counting one of her fake Survivor.
So it's around the same spot. I know Penner has 2 7th place finishes, but you know Suri famously that she has come in third, fourth, what sixth.
Yeah. Sixth, and then like not so great in Heroes
not
versus
so great.
Villains.
Not so great.
But yeah, I mean she's always if you want to, you know, play Survivor four times and you're coming in third, fourth and sixth, that's pretty good.
Okay. So that might be the answer to a Survivor trivia question. I guess Amanda Kimmel has come in second a couple times, right? Or did she come in third?
Amanda came in
third in China. Yeah,
in China. Everyone always forgets that. They think that Courtney was the one vote, but it was Amanda.
All right,
but yeah. Well, let's take our look back at this week in Survivor history. We're gonna go pretty far back this week, Rob. Just warning you.
Okay.
Smash the hourglass extra hard because we're going back 20 years to Survivor Africa, or Africa, if you pronounce it that way. November 15th, 2001. And I have a trivia question for you about this episode, Rob.
Okay.
The new Samburu tribe went to tribal where Lindsay Richter was eliminated over Big Tom due to the now defunct previous votes against tiebreaker. Who from Baran signaled to their former tribe mates that Lindsay was susceptible due to having previous votes cast against her?
This is hard, because I think I know the answer, but, let me just say, what are the stakes here? Or how many questions are we doing? Three questions, two questions?
We have three questions. You need to get two out of three right in order to win the game.
Two out of three. Okay. So I'm going to say, I believe the answer is, Kim Johnson.
So Kim Johnson. is one of the original Barons who stayed on Baran. So she is one of the potential answers. The other two being Clarence and Ethan, who could have been the other ones to signal that Lindsay had votes. But you're correct. It was KJ, Kim Johnson.
KJ.
Talking about second place players, the runner up of Survivor Africa was the one who signaled. And this season could go completely differently if they didn't realize that Lindsay had votes against. And the reason I bring this up, there's obviously the rock draw now, which is the more modern way of deciding Survivor tiebreakers ever since season 4. Did you like this? Did you like the old version of votes against?
Well, I do think it's interesting. You know, it's something that we talked about certainly in the Evolution strategy, and then coming back and doing the top 40 countdown. I don't know if I love it, but I feel like that it does actually like create some stakes on some of these votes where maybe there would not be as many. But I do think it is hard to let the audience in on. I mean, I guess no more complicated than a lot of the things we see in modern day Survivor. So it's hard when, like, did every vote get read? So it's like really tough to keep a tally on these things. But I do think it's an interesting way to break the ties.
Yeah, I prefer the rock draw. I think that it creates a situation where if you can't break the tie after two votes, it's a big risk because now you're going to be susceptible unless you have immunity. I think that it does add potentially some interesting strategy. You might get some hinky votes thrown around if previous votes cast against. But I kind of like when every tribal council is its own thing. If you get the most votes, you go home. Unless an idol's played, second most votes, you don't go home. And I don't think it should necessarily count against you because it becomes pretty easy then for an alliance to just put votes or maybe throw some votes onto someone who might be a threat down the line in the game, and then you could get them out like that. But at least it's something you could prepare for. At least everyone knows the rules.
Okay. Jordan, what else happened on this week in Survivor history?
All right. We're going to go to nothing but Netflix. Survivor
Red
David
Notice?
Versus Goliath.
Oh.
Yeah. Survivor David versus Goliath is.
Did you watch Red Notice?
I didn't watch Red Notice. No.
You could just listen to the podcast with me and Chappelle and Puya.
That's way more likely than watching the show. I was
all in one podcast.
Wow. Yes, that's a huge, huge crew. Great crew. Mm-hmm. No imposters in that crew. But I turned on the Netflix and I see Survivor David versus Goliath is there. I see all these great stars, these people who have been on RHAD.
Did you watch the Survivor David versus Goliath on Netflix yet?
I watched the episode that we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
I have not watched the whole season back. I mean, I have watched this season for a season that came out 3 years ago. I've watched it probably too many times,
mm-hmm.
Because it is one of my favorite seasons, but this is the episode. This is the minority vote split. John Hennigan out of the game episode, one of my favorite episodes in Survivor history.
Okay.
And I really wanted to talk about this one because we talk about the use of advantages on the season and how the advantages in 41, it seems like maybe they shouldn't have been put together in this game where you have a twist like the Beware advantage where everyone knows who has the idol, yet you also have the knowledge's power. I think that the advantages in Survivor 37 work together perfectly. And we saw that when they were all in the hands of the David tribe and they were able to use their advantages in order to make this minority vote split work. And in this one, of course, Davey is the one who uses the idol and plays it on Christian. And they have the presence of mind to split the votes between Angelina and John, sending John out of the game. So I have a couple trivia questions for you. I have two more questions. You're one for one, so you only need one more correct.
So two questions on this one episode.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
They're both about this episode. So we are going to go to November 14th, 2018, 3 years ago Sunday. The Davids added another slingshot to their arsenal by finding the steal a vote. Who found the clue which pointed them in the right direction?
Who found the clue?
Has been put on an RHAP t-shirt.
I think it was either Nick or Davey. I'm going to say I think it was Nick.
Okay, so Nick is the one who finds the steal the vote. But the question that you had to ask yourself is, where is Davey? Because Davey was standing on a rock, twirling a stick, causing a diversion. So Nick and Carl could then go look for the advantage. Davey is the one who found the clue, not Nick.
So where is Davey? Incorrect.
Yeah. Okay.
A little bit of a tricky question.
Tricky question.
It really, it really shows the trust that David's group had going into this, because like if
they're not David's fighting over an extra vote.
No, it's just an extra vote. Who cares? Steal a vote. But who cares? It's just a steal a vote. But it does get played later in the season. I believe Nick uses it on Allison.
Yeah,
but not in this episode. Yeah. So let's go to the next question here.
So this is for all the marbles.
All the marbles. So you have not lost yet. You have won 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
You need to get.
Is it going
to
be a bones week? Everybody, the suspense is killing me.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. This could be. It could be a bones week. It could be our first no bones week. Sorry to the David Boreanaz stands out there. But the question is, which Goliath clued Nick into the plan that the Goliaths were planning on blindsiding Christian at Tribal, leading to the famous minority vote split?
So,
which Goliath told Nick that they were going to vote for Christian?
Yeah. It's actually somebody who competed in this week's immunity challenge, who ended up with the second place finish. I believe that it was Alec.
Oh my God, bro.
So I can say that you were incorrect in that Alec, that is not the challenge where Alec comes in second to Christian, but I can say that you are correct in that Alec is the one who tells Nick about the plan.
That happened in this week's Survivor episode.
Oh, this week. Oh, okay. Fair. Well, it's this week, this coming week. This is this week.
Listen, Jordan, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side of history on this
yes,
one.
Yes, they're repeating the challenge in 41. I misunderstood. Yes. I see what you mean. Okay, yes, they are repeating that challenge where Alec Merlino came in second after a bunch of hours of Christian talking to Jeff Probst. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
But yeah, Alec Merlino is the
oh
one.
Oh my God, bro.
Who tells Christian, who tells Nick the plan. Davey, it allows Davey to then play the idol on Christian, leading to the vote split, which was really a great move. Such a fun move in Survivor. They probably figured that that Dan, even though Dan and Angelina had been feuding during this episode, he does play the idol on her. But three votes, Nick, Davey, and Christian's vote for John, sending him out of the game. We lose the mayor of Slamtown. And Christian does get to keep his comptroller title.
Mm-hmm. He does get to keep that's official.
I believe it's official. Asks when John's walking out of tribal council, can I still be comptroller? And John says yes.
Yes, Jordan. How great was Christian on the podcast last week?
Amazing. Christian's always amazing on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he killed it every time. Just like the big turkey, Jordan Kalish.
I'm the big turkey.
I don't know. You've said that this is like the third week in a row.
Third week in a row, so I guess I don't know. Does that make me the turkey or is Twish the turkey? I think it could be the Twishky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Jordan, that we are all set to be extra thankful next week because Twish is back. No exit interview in the usual spot Thanksgiving week. Typically, we do that on the Monday after, so we got to figure out what we're going to do.
Yep. Can't wait. It's going to be sad losing another one of these 41 players, but I'm happy I get to be on the tail end of the exit interview. They're the appetizer. We're the main course, baby. Let's go.
All right, Jordan, what's coming up for you this week besides putting your Joe Flacco jersey back on?
I am
Wacko for Flacco, famously, Jordan Kalish.
Yes. Looking forward to seeing Joe Flacco play
the elite Joe
the
Flacco.
After just everyone's hyping Mike White, Mike White, who's on, who is a Netflix star in multiple regards, he is no longer playing quarterback for the Jets. It's going to be Flacco because Zach Wilson's not ready.
Back
to
in
go.
The queue.
Honestly, you're going to bench Mike White after one game. I don't.
All right, we don't need to do the whole football take. That's just a throwaway.
We'll see how the Jets do. They're home against the Dolphins. It seems like it could be a winnable game, but they're also the Jets, so who knows? Right.
Jordan, you could follow Jordan Kalish on social media. He is at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, talk to you soon, Rob. Talk to you next week.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The great Jordan Kalish. This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it could be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, great double exit interview here today. Next up, we're going to talk with Sophie Clark. We are going to have a great recap with her. We're going to get your voicemails in for Hannah Shapiro. And we're going to get ready for our Monday night patron Q&A with Asia Welch over for the patrons at robisawebsite.com/patron. Thank you again so much for listening to all the podcasts. So much fun to get to do these exit interviews this season. It has not been lost on me just how cool it is to be able to talk to the survivors the day after the episode. So I hope you enjoyed these as much as I did. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.